Amen, and thank you, praise to Him. He is Lord of all, and we should never forget that. Because see, how we live our lives focuses others' attention. Do we really believe what we say we believe? And that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning, is leaving a legacy, leaving a mark. Were you here on this world? Who remembers you? How you are remembered? Now we're going to use an example is Joshua, and we'll be in chapter 23 and chapter 24, and we'll get to there in just a few minutes. But let us open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much this morning, this beautiful day that you've given us, ability to gather in your house, the ability to sing songs that mean so much to us. And Lord, now that we can open your word and see as your servant Joshua, who has served you from the days of Moses all the way up through the conquest, and now his time has come. And Father, as he leaves, he wants to be remembered for one specific thing. And Lord, I ask that in our legacies, in our times, we are remembered for much of the same thing. So Lord, please remove me from this and let your Spirit speak for itself into each heart, into each ear that would hear. Thank you, Father, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, do you remember someone in your life that left you a valuable legacy? And I'm not necessarily talking about financial. Something you saw, something you did, something they showed you or you carried from them. Maybe not money, as we said, but knowledge, wisdom, or a lifetime of examples. Now, I'm going to tell you about my grandpa. Now, my grandpa was a grizzled old World War II veteran. Okay? He carried German shrapnel in his leg to the day he died. In fact, when they were preparing him for the funeral, they said, "Do you want us to take it out?" And my aunts and them, because my grandma had already passed many years before, they said, "No, you leave it in there with him." And that became part of the legacy of his heroism. But you see, it was much more than just being a soldier. My grandpa, and I'm proud to say, was a man of God. In fact, there's a small church in a town in Mississippi that was built on land right next to his land that he donated for it. The graveyard, my older brother who died in infancy was the first one buried there. That has attachments to me. But I want to speak more of my grandpa. My grandpa would never get up and hug somebody, but he always loved his grandkids to come hug him. And my grandpa would help everybody in the community, whether they were white, black, Choctaw Indian, whoever lived in that small town, my grandpa would help them. If they needed food, he put out of his garden and he would go take it to them. He would be the one that would have the wagon that with the mule back when he was younger. Now we're talking about the 1940s and 1950s and early 60s. And if the black church up the road needed someone to carry a casket for a funeral, he was the first to volunteer. And then when somebody needed something in the hospital, he made sure, he might not go to the hospital, but he made sure that family, and it didn't matter if they were in the church, it was in the community, he lived that, and he always told them about Jesus. Now he did it in his way. It's not a polished evangelical dissertation or anything. No, he just said them that Jesus loves you, so do I. If you need anything else, let me know. And that was it. And it was a beautiful thing to know my granddad. And he was strict too. He loved God so much, you didn't wear something on your head or on your shirt that had anything against God. In fact, I remember, y'all remember those painter caps they came off with in the 80s? You remember they had the kind of flat, round, and had the little thing? Well, I had one time I'd bought and had a Miller beer advertised on it. And I accidentally wore it to my granddad's barn. And next thing I know, this big old hand come flying across, slapped that hat right off my head, and he said, "Boy, I never want to see you wearing that again." But he did it because he loved God. And he wouldn't have anything in his mind that participated in going against what God stood for. There's a legacy there. And when he had his funeral, I'm telling you, there were 100, 200 people that came out. Most of them we didn't even know because he had helped their families back 20, 30 years before. People remembered him. And then when I go to that grave, and I haven't been many years, but when I go to that gravestone and I see my grandfather's name written on that gravestone, I feel a sense of pride, but then I also feel a sense of hope because I'll get to see my granddaddy again. And he won't be my granddaddy anymore. He'll be my brother in Christ. Folks, that means something. Y'all can't see it, but I'm getting goosebumps up here under this coat. Because it's so important to leave a legacy of being remembered for who you are, what you stood for. Did you stand for something, or do you let everybody push you around every which way it goes? Do you stand firm in what you believe? And in our case, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we stand firm when we're attacked? He did. He stood firm every opportunity he did. And he was like, and like I said, he was a gruff old farmer type guy. But he was like, them people ain't got no sense. That's all he'd say. But you think about how much that makes truth that is. So he left a legacy for me, and I still remember that. That legacy of heroism, hard work, and devotion to God. Much like Joshua. And we know what Joshua had did. Remember Joshua leading the armies of Israel when Moses was up on that hill and he had the two men holding his arms. One was Aaron, another was a guy by the name of Hur. Not Ben Hur, okay, that's Charlton Heston, that's a whole different thing. But they were holding his arms up and the battle raged. And then when Moses came down off the mountain, Joshua led the people. You remember when Joshua asked God and the sun stood still for a whole day while the battle raged. And then when they went across the Jordan and the priests, the Levites, took the Ark of the Covenant and they stood in the mid-Jordan and dry ground appeared. And on one side the water walled up and the other side it quit flowing. Joshua was there. Joshua was leading the people. And all these things had happened. And then the conquest of the land, going and defeating these kings all over Canaan. He had led them. But now the time had come. Now let's pick up Joshua 23, verses 14 through 16. Joshua 23, 14 through 16. Now this is Joshua speaking. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now let me stop right here for a second. He said, folks, I'm dying. I'm going the way of all the world. That's the death. But he didn't concentrate on himself. What did he go to immediately? He went to the promises that God had kept. Don't worry about me. Your faith is in God. Verse 15. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Now see, he's still leading, he's still warning, he's still telling them, all right, I'm going to die, but God has kept every one of his promises. But you people need to wake up. If you transgress, when you follow after other gods, God's going to keep his promise because God had told them, if you are obedient and you're loyal and you follow the law, you're going to have the good of the land and the blessing. But if you slip up and you fall and you start worshiping other gods, I'm going to destroy you. And folks, that did happen. It took a few hundred years. But they eventually got thrown into exile because they had not stopped following their Lord and God. They had stopped obeying Him, they had stopped being loyal, and they worshipped other gods. And that's exactly what Joshua was trying to tell them. And it's amazing to me. He reminded them that he was soon to be gone and they would no longer have his leadership. You see, strong leaders, they're not a dime a dozen. Strong, competent, loyal, faithful, and responsible leadership is hard to come by. It's not impossible. There are men and women who are good, strong leaders, and God bless them. There are teachers, and there are confidants, and there are examples in life. And they're good to have around because God uses them to show us things. Now, what I'm trying to get at is Joshua was going to leave this legacy. And the one thing he wanted to tell them was God had kept their promises. And we just read that was. So, he was going to leave them. God had kept his promises and a warning. If they disobeyed God, they would lose their inheritance and be destroyed off the land. Joshua wanted them to know they were still beholden to God. You see, when we come to faith in Christ and God blesses us and we have a good life and we have enough money, we have enough food, we have a nice house, sometimes we tend to distance ourselves and we start thinking, I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who's smart enough that I got all this. And we tend to forget that because we were faithful to God, He had blessed us with the opportunities and the talents and the knowledge to accomplish our dreams. One of my biggest dreams when I was young is I wanted to go to England. That was my homeland. I wanted to go there and see the castles and all that kind of stuff. And I thought when I joined the service, they would put me in the Atlantic. Well, they put me at Pearl Harbor, so I didn't get to see England, okay? But eventually, because I was faithful to God, He allowed me to go on a mission trip. And I spent 2 weeks in England telling people about Jesus Christ. People who had historic Christianity, but they don't have an active faith. And you're going to find that all over Europe. You're going to find people that go into the cathedrals, light a candle, and go home and act like the rest of the world. And brothers and sisters, don't ever let that be said of this church. Don't ever let that be said that we're comfortable in our faith. To be content, yes, we're to be content in our faith, but we're not to be comfortable. We're to constantly go out and live our life out in a way that people will see us and say, that's a Christian. Maybe not that we're at Calvary Baptist Church, that's a good thing for us, but overall, that we belong to Jesus Christ. And then He will open up opportunities for us to spread the gospel and to tell others. Why? Because God has kept all His promises. Has there ever been a promise that God made to you that was of God? Not just you thinking it was of God, but actually of God that He hasn't kept. Now sometimes God tries to keep our promises and we like to throw a monkey wrench in it. We like to mess it up. And then we go around and blame God. It is not God's fault when we goof something up. It is not. God has kept all His promises He's made to His people. And these promises include blessing and include danger. Yes, if we are obedient to the Lord God as Joshua was, then we will reap the blessings. Joshua had many blessings. But you see, Joshua knew what the people were. And the Bible says that this group of people were a rebellious and stiff-necked people that were in the Exodus and coming through the land. They constantly rebelled. We remember, and sometimes we laugh, when they first came out of Egypt and they're like, oh, that we don't have any meat. You know, we had the flesh pots in Egypt and God sent them quail. And in fact, He sent them so much quail, they were choking on it. That's, in my opinion, that's God's sense of humor. They whined for bread and God gave them bread up until they went into the promised land. And then the manna stopped. God kept His promises. And He keeps His promises to us. If He says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age, He is going to be with us always, even to the end of the age. All we got to do is search for Him and find Him. He says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. How many times has He been beating down your door and you've refused to answer? And then we say, well, God's never visited us. Yes, He has. He's put people in your path. He's put opportunities in your path. He's put circumstances that you find yourself in. And each time He has been there, we just have to recognize it. And it's important that we recognize it. Why? Because we ourselves are going to leave a legacy to those that come after us. You know, I spoke of looking at my grandfather's tombstone. Well, I realize, God willing, there's going to come a day when my daughter is going to stand over my grave and look at my tombstone. And what is she going to remember of me? What is she going to remember of me? Was I a man who kept the Word of God? Was I an imperfect man? Did I make mistakes? But did I try to change those mistakes and make it right? Did I follow God to the best of my ability? I hope the answer is to yes to all of those. Because I want to leave a legacy for my family and for my friends that when they look upon me in the future, when I'm no longer here but in heaven, they can say, this was a man of God. Now, does that mean I'm going to be perfect? No. I mess up. The same daughter who's going to be looking over my tombstone has seen me blow my top a few times. How many can say that? Every one of us, if we're truthful. But yet, I hope she's also seen me go to God and ask forgiveness. You see, we are all stiff-necked and rebellious. And Joshua knew it about his people. In fact, in verse 16, it said, when you have trespassed, not if, but when. He knew what they were going to do. And knowing this, Joshua gave them an ultimatum. And here's the ultimatum. This is chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have heard that verse since we were in Bible school. But this is a choice that we have to make. We make the choice. God gives us the grace to do it, but we make the choice. Will we serve God? And Joshua's telling him, you know those little old cheap plastic gods you had over there in Egypt and everything? The little looked like a man halfway, and then it had a hippopotamus head and all that kind of crazy stuff. Are you going to worship these little bitty old clay things they make, the Amorites make? You going to worship all them, or are you going to worship God? The God that crossed the Red Sea, the God that got you here after 40 years in the desert, the God that dried up the Jordan, the God that gave you Jericho and all these conquests. Are you going to serve that God, the real and living God? Are you going to serve all them? It may seem evil for you to serve this God. Talking about Yahweh. But if you don't want to serve Him, serve those. Go ahead. That's like me telling my daughter, go ahead, put your hand in that fire ant bed. See what happens. Go ahead. Do something stupid. You'll learn better that way. No, no, no. Because I love her, I protect her. Because I love her, I warn her. And that's what God was doing to His people. He was warning them over and over and over. Do what is right. And then Joshua made this legacy statement. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me, my slaves, my family, everybody. We're going to serve the Lord. And that's what He's remembered for. In fact, in the book of Joshua, show me somewhere it spoke ill of Joshua. Everything he did, even when old Achan messed up and stole that stuff, what did Joshua do? He fell down before the Lord. He ripped his clothes and fell down and cried out to Him. He did the right thing. He seemingly always did the right thing. Now, was he perfect? No, of course not. He was like every other mortal man. He probably made mistakes. God just didn't tell us what they were. But since we know there's only one perfect man that's ever lived, Joshua made mistakes. But the good things, the legacy things that Joshua left for his people, for his house, far outweighed anything else that he may have done. You see? We all, including the people of Joshua's day and those alive sitting here today, will, if left to our own devices, walk away from God. In fact, there's a hymn that we sing sometimes. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I love that old hymn. Can't think of the name right now, but it had something to do with raising an Ebenezer. Now, it took me a long time to figure out what an Ebenezer was. I thought it was getting Scrooge out of the ground, but that's a whole other story. Prone to leave. You see, when we're left to our own devices, that's why God sent us the Holy Spirit to indwell, because we're no longer in our own devices. We are under the care of Almighty God. And that allows us to live a better legacy. Joshua's last command was to fear the Lord. The people were told to serve Him in sincerity and truth. Now, I believe everyone in here is sincere in our faith. If we have that faith, I believe we're sincere in it. But what we see as sincerity isn't necessarily what God sees as obedience. So that's why He is in truth. I can be very sincere that I believe the moon is made of green cheese. I can believe it 100%. Does it make it right? No. But if I worship Him in sincerity and truth, then the truth that God gives me is what I'm sincere about. What is the truth that God gives me? He loves me. He died for my sins. He's willing to make me an heir with Jesus if I put my faith and trust in the one and only Son of God. You see, those things are amazing to us because we see all this stuff all over the world. Well, there's many ways to God and there's many ways to do this and all this kind of stuff. But it's not. See, that's where the truth part. What is truth? The truth is the Word of God. The truth is the Word of God, both living and incarnate. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. Didn't He? I am the truth. And then we read in the Bible where the written Word of God is the truth. So we know where the truth is. We know what rule and standard we must live by. Now we try as people to live along man's rules, you know, the just laws and all this stuff. We try to live by them and keep them. But I'm here to tell you, there is no higher law than God's law. You never let someone tell you there is. And in fact, we read several times in the book of Acts and a couple other places where men were believers were had to do what the law told them to do. Let's think about the two midwives in the time of Moses' infancy. When the Pharaoh said, you go kill all the male Hebrew children. And they didn't. And God rewarded them. Now Pharaoh went out with his own soldiers and tried to do it himself, but they missed one. And then we read what happened when Peter and John, James and a few others went before the councils many different occasions. And they said, don't you teach in that man's name. Don't you do these things. You're going to bring his blood on us. And they were the ones screaming, crucify. I've always found that extremely ironic. They were calling for Jesus' crucifixion and then they got mad when somebody said, you're the one who said to crucify him. Oh no, we didn't. Yes, you did. See, the whole point of what I'm telling you this is we need to worship God in sincerity and truth. Just like Joshua told his people. Idols were to be put away. Old gods were to be done away with. And Yahweh God was to be the only God worshipped. Put away those old gods. Put away those foreign gods. What kind of gods do we need to put away? Oh, I could sit here and I could name you 150 of them. I'll just name a few. What about the God of self? Everything has to be for me. Everything has to be for my comfort. I don't care if I hurt this person or hurt that person as long as I get ahead. I deserve it because I'm such a good and nice fella. That's a God. What about the God of greed? We were joking around this morning in Sunday school about getting a bigger boat engine because the neighbor had it and getting a bigger whatever because the neighbors have it. No. Be content with what God has given you. It's not wrong to work for something if you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes a competition, when it becomes my way is better than God's way because I want what somebody else has, no. Brothers and sisters, that's not contentment. That's sin and idolatry. Materialism is an idol. Now that doesn't mean God don't want you to have a car and a house. Yes, He does because you need to work, you need to do all those things. That's not what I'm saying. But do we always need the biggest and the newest? Some of you may do this, and I apologize in advance if it does, but I'm not going to wait 4 days in a driving rainstorm for the newest iPhone. I'm not going to do it. My phone works as long as I can see the weather radar and talk to somebody. I'm good. We don't need to fall for those old gods. Can you think of any gods right now that is coming upon your mind? I'm not asking you to say it out, but think about something that you may think is more important than God. What is it? It could be a thing, could be a place, could be a relationship, could be an activity, could be anything. We're told to put away those old gods and serve God only, and then God will give us what we desire, because our desire will be what God wants. Now, as we said, Joshua gave the people a choice. And God gives us a choice today. Whom are we going to serve? You're going to serve the world? You're going to serve the flesh? You're going to serve the devil? And let me tell you something right here, folks. If you're not serving God, you are automatically serving the devil, whether you think you are or not. Because anything that goes against God is of the devil. Now, we may couch it in human pride and human flesh and immorality and all that, but it's still from the enemy. This land here today is full of false gods. It's full of gods of politics and of sports and of self-esteem, of pride, of immorality, of pleasure in all its guises, and of any other realm. They all vie for our attention. They're all pulling at us. They're all trying to grasp what we have. The God of self permeates the airwaves and the computer screens. The gods of sports have people spending their livelihoods on trophies and jerseys or other bric-a-brac. The God of politics causes us to put our hope in man rather than God. I could go on, but the evidence is clear to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, can we enjoy some of those things? Yes, within reason. You know, I pick at politics all the time, but you know, we need leaders. We need people who are willing to sacrifice themselves, to make decisions that other people don't want to make. We need them, and we need to pray that God would give them wisdom, and we should. We should lift up our leaders. So I'm not knocking individuals. What I am knocking is a worldly system where that's the most important thing there is. It's not that way. What about pleasure? God allows us to take vacations and to go on trips and things like that. It strengthens us. It builds us up. Even Jesus went off and went by Himself many times to pray. So when we use those things to build our strength up, they're good and God has given them to us. But when they become your God, what I mean by that is they become more important than what you promised to your God, then we need to rethink. Thus, we are all called to answer that question. Whom will you serve? I pray that we answer Joshua's answer. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you have to make that answer yourself. Why? Because that answer will decide your legacy. See how I brought that full circle? That answer is going to decide your legacy. How you are remembered, what people are going to think of you and your family and what you did here on earth. That is what's going to be important to the ones you leave behind. You're going to be in heaven. You're not going to be worried about it. But your children and your grandchildren and sometimes your great-grandchildren are going to know who you were. You know, I wrote on the web thing this week, Christine and I, we kind of got turned around down here south of town. But we found this little old church, and I don't even know if it's still active. It's called New Beginnings. You know what I'm talking about? Is it McIntosh and Double H, I believe. And there's a graveyard out there. We walked out in the graveyard and we saw many names and things. There was this one tombstone and it was a Reverend something, something, something. Don't even remember the name because half of it was covered in lichens and moss. But I wondered there, had this Reverend been faithful? Had this Reverend done all that God had called him to do? Who remembered this Reverend? Well, of course, in our generation, nobody remembers him. He died in 1858. But if in his generation people remembered him. You know, I said our great-grandkids. By the time I have great-great-grandchildren, I ain't going to be here. And I doubt they or their progeny will come and visit me if God hasn't returned by then. But that's okay for me. A fellow by the name of Mueller who helped found the a missionary society said that it's called the Brethren, I believe, if any of y'all have ever heard of them. He said, a preacher's life, be born, preach the gospel, die, be forgotten. Now that, and he meant by that, all glory goes to God. We don't want people to remember us for ourselves, but because we were servants of God Most High. That's our legacy, brothers and sisters. And that's important that we remember that. What will we be remembered for? What have you left for your progeny? Will they remember a man or woman who was the servant of God Most High, as we said? Will they remember a person who spent time with people to tell them and show them the ways of God? Will they recall time spent at church or any other place where God was worshiped? One time I remember at that little church where I told you my granddaddy helped build it, we were there on a Wednesday night and the roof caved in the back. The pipes burst and all that little stuff very similar to this come crashing down around us. And the preacher, I remember his name was Brother T.O. Thrash, and I remember that because he's the guy that married my parents. He said, we're not going to have a service tonight. We're going to have a community mop. And we brought... People went home and got mops, and because we're talking, it was about 2 inches deep in the back, okay? It didn't make it to the sanctuary because it was kind of like a dip. You went down. But we spent an hour and a half singing hymns and mopping the floor. And I remember one of my uncles told the preachers we were leaving, you know, so I have never had an experience like that, and I don't think I ever want to have it again, but I appreciate it. Because we sang like crazy. The little lady that led the singing, she would get the hymn and she said, okay, we're going to sing this. Didn't tell us the number. We just started singing. And we sang every verse we knew, and we mopped that floor because I was about 12. So I could handle a mop. And I'd get that old dolly. Do y'all still call them dollies, the mop buckets? Well, that's what we called them. Anyway, I'd squeeze that thing out and we'd keep going. An hour and a half, but we got every bit cleaned up. That's a legacy that I remember because we didn't let something like that happen dissuade us or prevent us from singing praises to God. That's what we did. Now, it happens in many different ways, 1,000 times all over this country, in every little church that truly belongs to God. Things happen and people are brought together in strange circumstances. That's part of the legacy of the church. How will our legacy of humanity, be remembered? We need to stand like Joshua. We need to stand up like he did, even at the end of his days, and be counted among God's people. You know, being a paramedic and being a pastor, I have been at many, many people's bedsides as they're about to pass. I have. And I've told you a few of those stories. I haven't told you all. I got to save some for sermon material in the future. But what I remember most is those that knew God had no fear. Those that really loved God had no fear. In fact, I had this one little fella. We went to his house. He was having a heart attack. I put him on the life pack, which is a little heart monitor there, and it was life pack 3. Okay, that's how old I am. It was going up and down, and he said, my chest is hurting, so we put him in an ambulance and got him going down the road, and I've got him IVs, and I'm sitting, all I can do is watch and take blood pressures, and he's going down and down and down, and his heart flatlines. All right, we call a systole. That's a fancy medical word for you. It just quit. And then at that exact moment, and me and him had been talking, and he said he believed in God, and he was going to trust God and everything. And that exact moment, we hit a root that had grown up under a road on the way to the hospital. And we bounced about 4 feet in the air, and when we come back down, his heart was beating. I called that place forever after that, Resurrection Bump. But we came back down, and of course, after I cleaned up everything, because everything went flying, everything, he looked at me and he said, I just saw Jesus. And I said, good. I didn't know what else to say. And he said, you know, I'm not scared of dying. By the time we get to the hospital, he'd flatlined again. And he passed. And he was with Jesus. I believe that 100%. You see, he left a small legacy. He left a legacy to me of someone who fully trusted God even though he was passing. And I could tell you about many other saints that did that, but I won't bore you with all the details. But needless to say, I've also seen people, and I've told you this once already, that did not go in the correct direction. And they were full of fear. Their legacy of their life was one not to be remembered. Oh, how sad. How sad it is when someone who passed and their family refuses to go to the gravestone. They don't want no part of that person. That person did evil when they were alive. That's another kind of legacy that we want to avoid. Joshua didn't have that kind of legacy. We don't need to have that kind of legacy. We need to stand up and say we are of Christ and let that do everything for us. Every part of our life, it's not just here in church. I was having a discussion with my wife earlier, not today, but a couple days ago, I believe. And the thing is, we cannot... No, it was this morning in the car. That's it. I got to get things right when I talk about my wife, brother. We cannot just live our Christian walk in the church. You have got to do it everywhere. It's got to completely involve you. Everything you think about, whether you think about pleasure or politics or work or school or job or whatever it may be, needs to be couched in your faith. You cannot compartmentalize it. Because if you do, your legacy is going to be worthless. Because you'll be a fake. You'll be a fake at church. You know, you do all the right things at church, but you hit that door and you know better than anybody else. Brothers and sisters, we can't be that way. We must stand, as Joshua said, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, I can say that for my house. Can you say it for your house? Can we say it for this church? But as for me and my house, as for me and my church, you could say, we will serve the Lord. Whatever path that takes you down, whether it's the maintenance of the building, or whether it's talking to people, or whether it's doing God's business, or whether it's giving to missionaries, whatever it may be, if God calls upon you to do that, take that opportunity to say, I'm serving God with everything I have. So that when your children and your grandchildren remember you on that day that you're no longer with them, they can honestly say, he did what he was saying. I can look at my grandpa's grave in my memory. Got my grandpa on one side and my grandma on the other side. And I can say in all my heart, I'm going to see them in heaven because they knew Jesus. Sometimes they knew Jesus a little too much. I've told the story before about my grandma. If you wasn't in church Sunday morning, she would call your house to see if you're okay. But if she caught you at the Piggly Wiggly the next morning, she would let you know that you should have been in church. Now, some people think that's nosy. My grandma didn't think that. She thought they're a part of the body of Christ and we miss them and we want them and we want to fellowship with them. We want to care about them. We want to pray for them. And that's the way we should feel. So that's the answer to our questions. We need to be firm in our insistence in obeying God rather than men. We need to praise the Lord in everything that we do. We need to make Jesus Christ the primary focus of our existence so that others will see Him in us. Do people see Jesus in you? There's another old song. Let others see Jesus in you. Well, do they? Do they? I heard a yes, and I hope so, brother. Good job. That's the right answer. Yes, they need to see us. And when all is done, and when the way of all the earth comes upon us, when we lie down in our bed with our children and grandchildren around us, if God blesses you with such an event, not to get up again, what will be the memories they have of you? I remember a man died. I went to his bedside at the hospital, and he had had a sudden onset of cancer. I mean, he had it, and 14 days later, he was dead. And he whispered, he couldn't speak, and he whispered, and I leaned over, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, Jesus will take care of my family, right? And I said, yes, of course. And he said, is it okay to go on? And I said, brother, you do what God lets you do. If God's calling you, you go. If He says hang around, you hang around. I don't want to speak for God, because God sometimes... Let me put it this way. God almost all the time has a different idea of what I have. But he rested. When I told him that, he just smiled and rested. He didn't die right then, but he died within 2 hours. Because he knew that it was okay to trust God. And he had a legacy. Because right before, when his daughters and his son and his wife came in, and they were all, you know, in their 30s and 40s, he was like, you keep the faith. And then he died. Much like Joshua, they knew he was dying. And he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. So the last thing, Joshua told him, you follow God. And this man said, you keep the faith. Brothers and sisters, let that be our legacy. Let our legacy be that similar to Joshua. Can you say that you and your house have served the Lord? I pray that you can. God blesses the deaths of His saints and He preserves the legacies of godly people, for all who are godly and are in Christ are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, at that point, our final legacy will be, are we written in that book? In the day when the books are opened and the Lamb's book of life are opened, and are we in it or not? If we have been true to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be, because He does not break His promises. Even if we goof up and mess up and sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and our name is not removed from the Lamb's Book of Life, because He promised that neither heaven or earth or things above or things below or things that were created or things in the under the sea, whatever, I can go on, it's Romans chapter 8. Nothing can remove us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when I last went to my grandpa's grave, just before I moved up here to Missouri, I saw his name and my grandmother's carved into that granite stone over his resting place. I recalled fishing trips, hunting trips. See, that's how you can tell from the South. It's not hunting, it's hunting. Hunting trips, all kinds of farming and gardening, riding on the fender of a big old Ford tractor while we were sowing corn, falling off and almost getting hit by a disker, but that's something God protected me from. Riding on four-wheelers, just sitting down under the shade tree peeling corn or shucking corn and peeling peas and all kind of stuff like that. Oh, I remember that. But what I remember most is His love of Jesus Christ, His actions at church, His caring for others in the neighborhood, as we talked about, white and black, His gruff way of telling the gospel. He was a rough, redneck, farming type of guy. He was a hero. He won a Bronze Star and he carried that German shrapnel, as I told you about it, to the day he died. He was a teacher of God's ways, taught Sunday school many, many years before I was born. But most of all, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. That's His legacy. And I pray to God with all my power that that's my legacy and it's your legacy. You need to be remembered for being a servant of God. You know, I've told my daughter of her great-grandpa. And I hope that one day my grandchildren will hear of my grandpa and their great-great-great-grandpa. And I want them to hear of Grandpa Charlie. That's me. I want to hear of Grandpa Charlie and all the things that he did for God. You know why? Because for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I pray this church can say the things, as for us in this house, we will serve the Lord. Praise team. But how do you serve someone you don't know? And the tables are all empty and you take out a big plate of food to them. Well, who's there? You don't know who's there. You don't know what to do, what they want, how to do it. But you see, in our lives, God gives us His written Word to tell us what He wants. He gives us the Holy Spirit to give us illumination, not only of that Word, but of prayers and those little red lights and red flags and little bulbs that go off when God gives us ideas. And He's there to protect us. He's there to love us. And He's there to forgive us. Because folks, we all need forgiven. We all need forgiven. And He does it. And He does it because He loves us. And you know, there's so many things that we can give to God. But you know the one thing He wants? He wants all of us. Every atom in our being, God wants. Every thought we need to bring in subjection to God. Everything that we are. Everything that has life and breath, praise the Lord. Folks, we can do it. He's given us that privilege. He's given us that ability. He's given that desire to do this so that when folks look at us and say, what did this man, what did this woman stand for? We stood for God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. And that will be our greatest legacy.